Enthusiastic you are to get to Jam Club. I'd like to tell the congregation what you're doing in Jam Club, okay? So just before you head out the door, with the Jam Club for this six-week period, Sharon has taken on a very bold adventure to try and produce a Christmas play musical. And Kirsty, who's looking after the upper primary, is also doing a Christmas play. So last week, Sharon was away on an Emmaus walk and Trish was looking after the Christmas play. Trish had 30 children in Jam Club and she had her hands full because she's not producing the musical. She was just filling in for Sharon, who's taken on this bold adventure. But as I look around the congregation, unless the kids are already up there in Jam Club, there's nowhere near 32 children here today. So this is the ebb and the flow of the life of a Christian church in the year 2012. So children, let's just share a prayer and send you on your way to Jam Club. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these children. We pray for the parents as each of them seek to represent what it is to be a godly mum and a godly dad. And we pray that as the children come to Jam Club and journey with your people, the body of Christ here in this place, that they would find many surrogate grandparents and aunts and uncles, people who will speak godly things into their lives and nurture and encourage them in every way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So children, if you'd like to head off to Jam Club, that will be wonderful. And Sharon will continue to develop your Hey You gifts. That's wonderful. Now, do we have any clock watchers amongst us? Put your hand up if you think you're a clock watcher. My wife's got a hand up. That's good. A couple of people up the back. Fantastic. So all you clock watchers, were you here before 9 o'clock? You were? That's great, because worship commences at 9 o'clock. And there are many ways of observing time. And this morning we're going to start our service of worship with Zulu time.
What does that mean?
We really need sound, because Zulu time has to have sound. So we might go back and start that again. Keep watching your clocks.
Oh, 600 hours, Zulu time. The sun emerges predictably red on the horizon. Start the clock on the day. And we humans emerge from our stasis, our sleep, and we take up the responsibility of free will, mostly unaware
that we are inexorably connected one to another in invisible pathways. Jet streams, shipping lanes, prevailing winds, genetic strains.
Climate patterns, tidal pools, the mysterious inroads of prayer.
Connected.
When one is lost, another grieves.
When one is hurt, another bleeds. 0601, this day is in our hands.
What will we do with it? A visionary speaker sparks an innovator. A design takes shape. Will set in motion, giving birth to a movement, spreading like a flame through a church, an enterprise, a city, sparking new ideas, new adrenaline. Walls fall and doors swing open, giving life and hope to tens, hundreds, thousands, moving mountains.
Feel it? Potential. It's everywhere. Quiver in the atmosphere, disturbing the Pacific Rim. Fears in Japan spark prayers in Berlin. Connected. A flashing light, an ambulance siren, The freakish cold spell in Lisbon. Child and father under blankets, shivering by the bank on Boulevard Saint-Germain, Paris.
Hanover Street in Baltimore, by the convenience store. Look in those eyes. Movement in the ocean floor. Singapore, Bucharest, Malawi, United Nations. Children without vaccinations.
0900 hours. Leaders gather in New York, scribble notes from a speech, pen and ink on a moleskin. Three inspired physicians, having made a point to listen, now engage in conversation, posing the question, will these great minds be moved to action?
They wish to learn. They book a flight. Wings lift off into the night. Passport check, security, Jakarta, Rwanda, Congo, Kinshasa. Sworn enemies humble themselves before a 40-inch screen as praying souls in Paraguay hold their breath on their behalf.
Unprecedented. They gather to learn, to heal, and to hear. Hands join in prayer, clearing the air, listening, open, willing to be moved. Letting go the deepest of the wounds, reconciling, excising the fear. Brothers, for the first time in 100 years.
Instantaneous paths of prayer, whisper synced from here to there, decisions to leave, decisions to stay, soldiers drop to their knees to pray. 1300 hours.
Syria, Libya, taking up arms, alert, alarms,
worldwide protests, desperate prayer requests, old regimes fall, new ones rise, sleeping churches come alive. Calls to action, cyber campaigns, after the drought comes at last. The rain.
Sao Paulo, Corcovado, statue of Christ with open hands, voiceless children, white hot sand, Chicago, Krakow, Amsterdam.
Commerce, drug trade, street lights, gang signs.
Follow down every pathway. Palestine, Mumbai, slums of the Dalit. Zoom in on Cairo, the Zabalin, garbage city, children's unprotected souls and feet.
One woman listens to the voice in the silence, and an idea catches fire. In the desert wind, the dry season ends. The healing begins.
South Asia, a church in a city that must not be named, one step away from being found out, shut down, incarcerated, but for the prayers in Des Moines and Bahrain.
Always listen. Watch the streets. Read the signs between the lines. Baptisms in hiding, in tubs, in fonts, in pools, in lakes, the cleansing water, the tides, the surf, tsunami.
Tokyo, from the heat of desperation comes connection. Japanese youth take up a collection for reconstruction.
Digging out from under the quake, caring for those left in the wake, spending themselves for the sake of the broken.
What it takes is one listening ear, wherever you are, tuning in, finger to the wind, a willingness to be moved.
23:59 hours, Zulu time. The stars glow predictably white in the black night sky. Some keen observers connect the dots and see them as constellations.
Others of scientific mind see them carried along with us in a vast gravitational sweep that moves galaxies.
Others see each star as an unrelated, disconnected, individual point of light, all on its own, alone in the universe.
Each awake and looking human being takes one last look at those brilliant points of light and drifts off to sleep.
We set the clock for one more day. What will we do with it?
Thank you.
What will we do with the day? O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds that thy hands have made, I see the stars, not individual dots of light, but all connected. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Let us stand and worship God. I was ready to go. As we sing this hymn, the second verse will be sung by the ladies. Keep playing, please, Mug. The second verse will be sung by the ladies. There will be no chorus after the second verse, and the men will sing the third verse. My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Ladies, please.
And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Together.
And thank my soul, Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
The splendor of the King, he clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice.
How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning at the end, beginning at the end. The Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, see how great, how great is our God. Your name above all names, you are worthy of our praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. You're the name above all names, you are worthy. Is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Then all will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou, how great thou. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou.
O God, source of life, of all that has been, of all that is, and all that is yet to come, we come now to this place in Zulu time with all that we are, that all that we have, with all that we are not and all that we have not, to encounter you, the sacred one who gives us life, to encounter the sacred in our neighbours, in ourselves, for you are here. Spirit of all things great and small, awaken us, we pray. Awaken us to this new day of connectedness. As we come to worship, may we be attentive so that we can see you. Great God of diversity, great God of the world, of all creation, in every moment, in every place, in every face. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. How great is our God. How great is our God. Last week we began our worship service where the teenagers were standing here with five bowls. Each of those bowls represented our life's journey of anger, of envy, of anger, envy, jealousy, worry. Yes, worries was one of them. And the fifth one? Can't remember, but anyway, it was something that we needed to bring. And at the beginning of our worship, we poured all of those anxieties, those aspects of our human journey in life into a bowl. And we mixed them all up. And then we, in our prayers of intercession, we went up the back as we took communion, as we talked about reconciliation, and we placed those coloured pieces on this image here. And we created what? A heart. Out of all of that brokenness of our own lives, out of the individual aspect of our lives, we created a heart, a corporate heart of beauty. A heart that God can take and transform and make into something new. And this morning as we began our worship with that Zulu time presentation, all of the connectedness around the world, wasn't that beautiful? We all wake up around about the same time, 0600 hours, and as we go through, today is the 11th of the 11th, 2012. We're connected. Today we're connected, and some of you have your poppies and some of you have your medals. We're connected in remembering those who in the past gave their lives. Whichever country's side they were on, whether it was on the Allies or the enemy, that's par for the course. They're people who gave their lives for the sake of their families and their loved ones, regardless of which side they were on, regardless of the ideology that drove them to that point. We remember them today. And Nikki's going to come and share a little bit about how this heart has not only affected our worship journey last Sunday, but during the week we've been able to share this heart and our brokenness as a congregation and our communion as a congregation with the YWAMers. So I'm just going to stand here and hold the heart.
Hello.
Our hearts.
Last Sunday was about love, 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 and I struggled through last Sunday. And on Monday we had a guest speaker come from New Zealand, Mark Parker. He's like one of our best speakers. And this is what I wrote. Just got to breathe. Brand new day, don't feel the same way. Something is shifting deep within me. Starting to outpour, starting to withdraw, whilst all the time wanting to be free. Brain racing 100 miles, trying to keep up with all my smiles, whilst a heaviness and tears is all I feel. Wanting this battle to go away. Worship playing, on my knees I pray. Yet still the hurricane inside takes over me. 19 days and it will be out of my system. But does that mean that when I'll be able to listen? I shake, I sweat, I cry, I get out of breath. Lord, is it at this point I see the footprints in the sand? Because I feel you are carrying me and you're taking my hand. Even though I am running around emotionally, my five senses are so heightened it's frightening. Please help calm me down. Please don't let me down. It's this fear of being taken over by anxiety. And on Wednesday, I was in charge of intercession for 56 students that this whole place was covered. And I was blessed to go to the leadership thing with Pastor Brad where Zulu time was played. And it really blessed me because whenever something like this happens to me, I press in and I got this attitude of thankfulness. And Mark Parker said, if anyone's unwell, press in. And I stood right there and I was like, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm not going to be let down by you anymore, God. And I'm here, I might be shaking, but I tell you what, I'm healed and whole. And for the students, I played that and we prayed for the nations. And one student has written, all the students have written on those pieces of paper. You can have a look at it after. And they've all prayed for the nations. And one student prayed for Ashmore and they prayed for the church. And I got them to write a thank you card for this church. And some of the things they've written, this is what I gave them all, was a love heart. And they all wrote in the nations what they wanted to pray for. And this is the card that I got. And it says on it, the more tightly we are attached to Jesus, the more purely his love can pass through us. And oh, what a love it is. Thanks for letting the Lord's goodness flow through all of you. YWAM Gold Coast and Byron Bay are so grateful to you. Use your facility and for your love and prayers. Bless you all. Love me. And then they've got, thank you so much, Tyler. You have blessed us so much, Gabby. Thank you so much for letting us use your church, Michaela. Thanks, Pastor. Thank you. Love you all. You're such a blessing to our YWAM family, Mel. And you guys can read it later. It's so sweet. There's 56 people have signed this card for you all.
So Ashmore Uniting Church, we're connected. We're connected way beyond the gathering of this little hour and a half journey and sojourn today. We're connected to the kingdom of God. We're connected to the kingdom of the past, the kingdom of the present, and the kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we worship God today, our theme in our last of our Vision and Values Day is called to give. Called to give. And so as we try to focus on what that might mean, let us bring our prayers of confession to God And I'll pray this prayer very slowly so that you can put your own personal connection into this. Let us pray. O God, when we choose to worry, we lose sight of hope. Lord, we confess our worries to you today. When we choose to grumble, we lose sight of joy. Lord, we confess our grumblings to you. When we choose to fear, we lose sight of love. O God, we bring our fears to you today. When we are worried and grumbling and afraid, we lose our sight. God of every vision, help us to see and to choose what is good. Amen. Would you please read with me the words of assurance? Hear the word of assurance of our God. And when you call for me, I have already answered. And you call for me, I am already there. Amen. Amen. Welcome to worship today. Today, from 10:30 till 12 o'clock, is the last of our Vision and Values workshops. And Dr. Jill Gray and Marty will be assisting in the developing of our vision and our values. Thank you for those who've participated in the previous month's journey. It's been a long process, and some of us feel that we don't seem to be getting very far forward, and today we're going to change gears. So would you please consider staying today from 10:30 till midday, and if you can stay for lunch afterwards, we'll have a fellowship lunch in the atrium. So that's an invitation. It's also an expectation and a desire to see this body of Christ be true to what we're called to be, and to be a healthy body rather than one that's limping along and almost in palliative care. But I'm sure we can, you know, if we had 30 children in our Sunday school last Sunday, there's a lot of hope and there should be less fear. So with that encouragement, I encourage you to take your part and responsibility. In a few weeks' time, on Sunday the 20... What is it, Anne? The music... 25th. Sunday the 25th of November will be the final of our music, Magic of Music afternoons here at 2 o'clock, and it will have a Christmas theme. We haven't been disappointed ever yet with the six that we've had. So would you invite your friends here on Sunday afternoon, the 25th of November at 2 o'clock to, say, 4:30. And those of you who are part of the congregation, if you'd like to bring some afternoon tea, whether you can come or not, just bring it in the morning, and that would be terrific. We're really building a very good reputation with these music afternoons. And one of the incredible byproducts of that is that Anne and the small committee have been raising almost $500 at each occasion. And that wasn't expected, but it happens to be a blessing that we're receiving. So when we're called to give and we respond, amazing things happen. And Anne has been giving of this seed of an idea that's germinated with the support of Edward Charles, who pushed her a bit along the way, and then others who've gotten on board. So it's been tremendous. I think those are the main announcements, just today's vision and values and the music one. There's also on the 24th, Saturday the 24th, the market day, the last one for this year. So the market days have changed from being a Monday to being a Saturday, and it'll be held in the atrium. So if you want any handmade products or jams, those sorts of things are available on Saturday from 9 till midday. We've been talking a little bit about our giving in our congregation, the type of people coming to church doing life differently, and putting money in the offering plate on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis isn't what everybody does. We don't always carry cash with us. So you'll notice on the back of the bulletin now, the church's bank account number is there. So if it is more convenient for you to give electronically, I know that some people work on a commission basis, other people are paid on a monthly basis, so you might find that it's easier to make an electronic payment into the church's a bank account rather than the expectation of putting cash in each week. Lewis Davies Graham, who's sitting in the back, also has quite a number of boxes of envelopes that have weekly dates on them, and if you find that that system keeps you more regular, as I did when I was a teenager, then that might be the best way. For me now as an adult person, direct debit is my preferred option. So I have a direct debit set up, and there are direct debit forms on the round table in the atrium if that is the most suitable way of giving for the work of God. We're called to give, and it's not just financially, we're called to give our lives. And today as we develop that theme, I hope that through our whole worship service, God's preparing our hearts to reassess our giving in time, talents, and our lives. So our free will offering for God's work will now be received, and we will sing together, give thanks with a grateful heart. Dedicate our offering, would you please stand? Dear God, as we come to worship today, we recognise that there are millions and millions of other brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world coming to your throne room of grace. And so, O God, as we stand here today, we represent an awe and a reverence to you. We stand because it's what we need to do, stand in your presence, because you've called us and drawn us to yourself. And so, God, as we reflect on what you gave to the world through Jesus, we give back to you a portion of that which is already yours, but you've given it to us to use and to steward. And Lord, we ask you as we stand here today that you would take our hearts and our minds, our body, mind and our soul, Lord, that as we respond to your word last week, loving you with everything and loving our neighbour and loving ourselves wholeheartedly, that today we stand in a better place than we did last week, that we give more freely with thankfulness in our hearts. And so, O God, as we come to this day that you've given us, may we use it to your glory, and may you draw us closer to you and to each other and to loving ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Part of our worship experience and our journey of faith is having an understanding of what God's doing in the world and in the lives of the people in our congregation. The call to worship this morning, being Zulu time, was a worldwide demonstration of the connectedness of our humanity, of both joy and sorrow, of God's creation and the world in that magnificent mystery. And as the clock ticks and as the sun and the moon chart their way and create stability for us, I don't know if you've ever stopped. I stopped this week after running around quite a bit, and I stopped and I sat and I chewed a sandwich and I thought, gravity, it's amazing. Because I'm usually buzzing around, so I don't let gravity define me. And so I did. I stood and I stopped. And I thought, wow, if there wasn't gravity, I'd just be flung out of this orbit because I tend to make my own orbit. And it was just a moment where I just had God and me and the gravity that keeps me stable. And I thought, this is good. This is good. I'd like to invite Susan Pritchard and her daughter Jasmine to come as a mother and a daughter to share with us how God's been at work in their lives, developing and growing, what it means to be called to give.
Good morning. I'm just going to let you know of something Jasmine and I got up to back in September. We went down to Canberra to attend a four-day lobbying event called Voices for Justice, which is connected with the Micah Challenge Network and based on the verse out of Micah from the Old Testament, Micah chapter 6, verse 8, which says, "This is what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God." Or in the Pew Bible, it says, "Do what is just and show constant love, and live in humble fellowship with your God." So the Micah Challenge is a group of people. There's a body in Australia, and it's connected around the world to keep our governments on track to the commitments they made to what are called Millennium Development Goals. The overarching goal is to halve global poverty by the year 2015. So those commitments and targets were all signed on to by countries, including Australia, back in the year 2000. So we're nearly at the end of those 15 years of very ambitious goals. And I must say that this year, I'll get to that a bit more at the end, but I was feeling quite despondent about being able to make any change and any difference in the world. So I really think that it was a spirit movement that prompted me to consider going to Canberra this year. I've never been there before. They've lobbied our government every year. And I have never had any particular wish to go along. There's lots of other people who were going to Canberra, especially from Sydney and Melbourne. However, something stirred this year, especially when I received an email that said there were no one from Queensland, no one from the Gold Coast was going to Canberra to talk to the parliamentarians about our aid budget, about the amount of money that Australians are committed to send overseas to help the poorest of the poor. And something in me just went, really? No one from the Gold Coast wants to do that? And then I thought, maybe I should go. And so it was 4 days in September, from Saturday to Tuesday. So the Saturday and Sunday was spent in information sessions, because there's a lot of statistics to digest about how many goals have been met, percentages of populations that have been lifted out of absolute poverty through income generation, targets that have actually been met. And I went, ooh, really? Some things are on track? That's great. The overall access to clean water in the population globally has improved in the last 13 years. That's fantastic. So we can be encouraged. I can be encouraged. I can be hopeful that things can improve for people. So then on Monday and Tuesday, the people behind the Voices for Justice, the conference, the organisers have already done all this planning. They've lined up meetings with parliamentarians, organised times. Basically, we were just kind of given sheets and said, there's your time slot, there's your time slot. So that's Mr. Stephen Chobo, who's the member for FADEN. Anyway, the electorate that covers Southport, where I live. We got to meet with him. He only agreed on the Friday to our meeting on the Monday. So I think if no one from his electorate had been there, he wouldn't have bothered. So he's not particularly open to social justice, poverty concept, like responsibility. He doesn't really believe it's the government's responsibility to act. But at least he knows that there are people in his electorate who do think it's important. One of the things that we're just asking the federal government to do and politicians to push for is to increase the overseas aid budget from 0.58% to 0.7%. That would be an increase of from 35 cents in every $100 to 70 cents in every $100. It's not really that big an ask, but for them it's huge. So that was just one of the things that we were there to ask the MPs to consider, to remember, and to know that people in their electorates believe is important. We also got to meet with Mr. Robert, who is the member for the next northern electorate on the Gold Coast, up round where Jessica lives, in Figura Waters and Runaway Bay. We met with a senator from Brisbane, Senator Boyce, who was absolutely lovely, and then we had some very rushed meetings with the member for Ipswich and the member for Toowoomba. The other thing that threw me once I said, put in my application and said, yes, I'd like to go to Voices for Justice, was that someone rang me up within about 48 hours and said, that's great, would you be the facilitator for the lobby group? And I went, really? No, I really wouldn't like to. But he was one of Ralph's friends, so in the end, of course, I said yes. So there I was, having never been to one of these events before, being the person responsible for making sure that my little lobby group of five people, including Jasmine, got to the appointments on time, found our way around Parliament House in Canberra, which I'd never been to, the new Parliament House, which is about 25 years old now. It's enormous. To get from the upper house side to the lower house side cannot be done in 5 minutes. So we had fun running around Parliament House, checking out the cafe and, then finally chilling after the five meetings, and then having the opportunity to listen to some of the sessions that had been organised by parliamentarians to talk to the members of the Voices for Justice event, which included people like the ex-Prime Minister and other members of Parliament. So to hear their testimonies from and their encouragement to us from both sides or all aspects of the political spectrum, people who have a Christian faith or even don't have a Christian faith but believe that it is important to look after the little people and even the little people overseas, that was very encouraging. So I think for myself personally, it's been a bit of a process this year. I know Jasmine did the 40-hour famine earlier in the year, which, while on the one hand was absolutely fantastic and I'm very proud of her, I suddenly realised that I'm getting quite old now, and I did the 40-hour famine when I was in grade 8, and that was over 30 years ago, and I thought, why do we still have to do it? Isn't 30 years long enough that we could have fixed these problems of global poverty? There is enough money, there is enough food. Why do our children still need to do the 40-hour famine? And I actually felt, I went quite low thinking about that. I've written so many letters when I was at university. I've been on those protest marches. And really, what difference did it make? And then something prompted me to go to Voices for Justice. And it was wonderful to be encouraged by the enthusiasm of people there. There were a lot of young people, but there were a lot of older people. There were 300 people there for the event to promote these issues, to meet our parliamentarians, to lobby them to care for those who can't write the letters. And so I guess I just came back to Micah 6:8. This is what the Lord requires of you. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And if I can't see that there have been changes, that doesn't matter. What I do is what God's looking for. So I'm feeling a little bit more hopeful than I did earlier in the year, and this event was very important in bringing that change about for me. I asked Jasmine whether she would be interested in coming, because I thought 2 days off school, that's not going to make a huge big difference, and she might enjoy a trip to Canberra behind the closed doors, having, I don't know, whether those of you with school children would know that most grade sevens go to Canberra to learn about democracy and the democratic process and how our government works. So I thought she might like to come down and put it into practice instead of just learning about the theory. So I'll let her tell you a little bit about how she found the experience.
As many of you will know, about 2 years ago, I travelled overseas for the first time to India and Cambodia. While over there, I saw ancient monuments, gorgeous food and clothes, but I was also face-to-face with a real kind of poverty you cannot find in Australia. Poverty is not a term that I'm unfamiliar with, but here I was looking at it for the first time with my own eyes and I was shocked. How could these people live like this, and how could other countries not care? This year I went to Voices for Justice for the first time, and we, Lorax, Thiel, spoke up for those who didn't have a voice. We spoke to politicians about increasing the aid budget and how the minimal aid budget is spent. This opened my eyes once again to not so much that the government doesn't care, but they don't know or they aren't aware. This has made me more passionate about helping those who can't speak.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Jasmine. It's a hard act to follow. Well done. It is my privilege to be reading the lesson this morning. It's from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13.
12?
Notice too. Sorry. Verses 38 to 44. Verses 38 to 40 is from, the heading is Jesus denounces the scribes. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Next is the widow's offering. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are committing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live in." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading.
This is a song that I heard at a TIER conference recently. It was written by a friend of mine who lives in Sydney. Very simple words, very simple beat. It's a 12-bar blues, if you know what a 12-bar blues comes from. But it's the words are allusions to lots of the justice passages through the Bible. The Bible talks a lot about money and justice, and often from the prophetic tradition. And this is a song that captures a lot of those passages. So it's a kind of a song of conviction and repentance, as well as a song of hope for the poor. So you won't know it initially, but it's really easy to sing, and I hope you'll be able to pick it up and join me. In fact, you might want to stand up because it's been about halfway through the service and it's a good time to stand up. And with Norm on the drums, I hope we can actually enjoy this.
Cry out for justice. Oh Lord, the poor cry out for justice. One thing's for sure, heaven hears their cry. Oh Lord, the poor cry out for justice. Oh, 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 oh Lord, the poor cry out for justice. One thing's for sure, heaven will reply. A mighty river, deep and wide. Oh, oh, a mighty river, deep and wide. Heaven steps down, stands by their side. Jump in and wash your muddy hands. Oh, 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 jump in and wash your muddy hands. Then play your part in the holy band. Justice. Oh, oh Lord, the poor cry out for justice. One thing's for sure, heaven hears their cry. It's true, their tears, they fill the sky. It's true, the tears, they fill the sky. His hand will wipe every single eye.
No more the proud cannot be trusted. With soon the crown will be thrown down. Oh Lord, the poor cry out for justice.
Last time.
Oh Lord, the poor cry out for justice.
What's for sure?
One thing for sure, heaven hears their cry. One thing's for sure, heaven hears their cry.
One more thing's for sure.
One thing's for sure, heaven will reply.
Yes. Please be seated. Congregation, we always have the best of intentions. I asked at the very beginning, were you clock watchers? A third of you put your hands up. My wife's up the back. We have a vision and values session in 25 minutes. How do I summarise that? Thank you, Jesus. Amen, hey? Every day, we are given the opportunity to see ourselves and our neighbours with new eyes. Every day, we are given the opportunity to see ourselves and our neighbours with new eyes. To look past mere appearances into the heart of ourselves and our communities. We are encouraged to take time to take notice, to look deeper. Did you notice in that passage of scripture that Faye so beautifully read to us that Jesus went into the temple and he just sat there and watched? He just sat there and watched. I'll just read it. Jesus went over to the collection box in the temple and he sat and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Each day we are given the opportunity to see ourselves and our neighbours with new eyes, to look past mere appearances into the heart of ourselves and our communities. The scribes and the leaders and the Pharisees have been accused of being addicted to the self-centered privileges and the ravenous greed dressed up as religious piety. So in verse 40 that Faye read, it says, "But they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property, and then to cover up the kind of people they really are, they make long prayers in public." So their appearances, their pretense, the Greek word is prophasis, which means pretending. Each day we are given the opportunity to see ourselves and our neighbours with new eyes, to look past the mere appearances into the heart of ourselves and into our community. So Jesus accuses the scribes of pretending to live righteously while devouring widows' houses in the process. And he calls his disciples to take notice of this transgression in action as a destitute widow puts in two small copper coins into the temple treasury. Susan and Jasmine, thank you for hearing the cry for justice for the Gold Coast. What's the population of the Gold Coast? 400,000, almost 500,000. Every week, 100,000 people visit the Gold Coast, so there's 500,000 people every week here on the Gold Coast. And two people from this community went to Canberra because they heard the cry for justice. How sad. How sad that everybody else is running around and the Greek word prophasis, which means pretending, had distracted us from a very significant aspect of God's kingdom and an opportunity. I don't mean to make everyone feel guilty that we all didn't hop on the bus and go down and have a jolly good time, but the question is, where are we listening out for the cry for justice? Where are we doing what Jesus said when he stopped and he watched the people putting in the money in the temple treasury? I'm speaking to myself as strongly as I'm speaking to anybody else, because this week when I stopped and I noticed that gravity kept me still, it was a nice place to be, rather than on my roller coaster that takes me here, there and everywhere. So I'll just try and summarise. The widow remains anonymous in contrast to the scribes who proudly project their egos to the world around them. Any newspaper, Clive Palmer's on the front page doing his little thing, trying to control the politics from the front door, and meanwhile we've got Susan and Jasmine trying to instigate some initiation from the back door of Parliament House. So the Greek word used for this widow's coins is lepton, which means a tiny thing. This lepton, the coins that she dropped in, were the smallest coin. It was the smallest unit of money in circulation during that time and place. And it would take about 4 to 8 of these coins to make one single penny. Not only is this woman a widow, but Jesus makes it clear that she's poor. In verse 42, there's two Greek words in the New Testament for poor. And one refers to someone who's got a steady job, and that's penes, P-E-N-E-S. And the other one describes someone who is a beggar, which is pokte, P-T-O-C-H-E. And in Mark's gospel, the widow is identified as a poktoi, which means she is the poorest of the poor. And so she's got these two coins. And she could have kept one for herself and one for the temple treasury, one to live on, but she didn't. In verse 44 it says she gave everything she had to live on. In the Greek it actually means she gave her whole life. That's what the Greek word of those two coins represents. It means she gave her whole life. And although this widow seems to accomplish in silence the very kind of faith that the scribes raucously pretended to live by, the text does not explicitly testify that Jesus affirms what's happening in this situation. In fact, Jesus, the week before when he arrived in Jerusalem, actually cries out for justice. I'll just find the verse again. He comes into Jerusalem and he says, he strips the temple. My temple is called a place of prayer for all the nations, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. So here we are, 2 or 3 days later, and Jesus is bringing us back to the heart of worship, bringing us back to the core values, that this is meant to be a house of prayer, of giving our whole life, not parading around in robes, dropping in coins with a loud, you know, bragging kind of way. So how do I summarise here? One of the things that Jesus may have been trying to heighten was this aspect of exploitation that had been committed by the religious leaders and by the temple. When he turned over the tables in the temple, he was trying to cut at the heart of the exploitation. And here's another example of this widow who's either compelled because of the regulations, or the spirit of her heart is such that she gave everything she had. So, brothers and sisters, every day we are given the opportunity to see ourselves and our neighbours with new eyes, to look past mere appearances into the heart of ourselves and of our communities. We are encouraged to take the time to take notice, to look deeper. And so today, I guess all I'd like to say, we are called to give our whole lives. It's not just a money thing. If we give our whole lives, the whole context of our personhood, our community, will be transformed and changed. Amen. Could we share together as we sing? Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. Would you please stand and let us worship God with this.
You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know him to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Would you please stay standing? And Susan, could we go back to the prayer of dedication that was part of my sermon? Okay. Could I just invite you to read the words to yourselves? I don't want to force you to say them out loud. And then the next slide. The next slide has this on it: my love, my heart, my talents, my energy, my creativity, my faithfulness, my resourcefulness, and my gratitude. If you feel after I've read the first slide that you can respond with all of those things, I invite you to share those. And if it ends up being higgledy-piggledy, I don't care. You know, it's the heart that matters, not whether we get it in unison. So this is a prayer of dedication. I invite you to share in this together if you feel that you can make this commitment, even though you haven't heard the sermon as I had it prepared. You've got the spirit of worship, haven't you? God, I freshly commit myself to the role you have invited me to play. As you are building your church in this world, I am awestruck again today that you include me in this grand, life-giving, world-transforming endeavor. So today, I joyfully offer you my love, my heart, my talents, my energy, my creativity, my faithfulness, my resources, and my gratitude. I commit all of myself to the role you have assigned me in the building of your church so that it may thrive in this world. And I will bring it today. I will bring my best. You deserve it. Your church deserves it. It is the hope of the world, reaching out, changing lives. Amen. Could we share together with the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Would you please be seated just so I can inform you about the needs of our community, and then we'll move to morning tea. Yes, could you say something? Can George say something? Why should we stifle the spirit, hey? We'll be gracious to you, George, but I'm trying to commit to Zulu time.
Terribly sorry. This is Ashmore time.
Oh. This is God's time. Okay, George.
I did the Emmaus walk on the weekend, and all the love I appreciated from all you lot here and from the people there was amazing. I had a wonderful time. And get closer to God, and the Spirit was in me, and I bless you all. It was wonderful.
Oh, George. Thank you. That was worthwhile. Sorry. Okay. Edna, you'll have to hobble out here a bit. Hey, darling. Rightio.
I complain about being old because I haven't got enough time to do all the things I want to do for the Lord. But I want to thank the Lord for the fellowship of this church, for the power in prayer. My eldest son needed tremendous prayer, and God met the need. And when I turned on my computer this morning, I'm a morning person. I dream of a night time. I always have. Even at university, I'd fall asleep in the lectures. And I was desperate to the Lord for me to pass the things I had to pass. Because how could I pass them when I was asleep in the lectures in an evening? But this morning early, when I turned on my computer, here was a message from Brad. And when I looked at the time, I thought, how ever is he going to minister this morning?
You don't tell people that.
After 10 p.m. at night, and hear the dear boys here feeding us, bless the Lord, I'm so privileged.
Yeah, I didn't get to tell my sermon. I'll have to do it next week.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. For me it was of the garden, and he prayed not my will but thine.
He done.
He had no tears for his own grief, but his sweat drops of blood for mine. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, folks, for praying for me. I wish I was younger so I could be spend more time doing things actively for the Lord. Bless the Lord.
While you've life, you can do it. You know, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good, you know. Laura and Barry Lewis. Barry's up here at the Annex. He's probably going to be there for a month, I'd say, in respite. Laura is in the Pindara Hospital and has chemotherapy starting tomorrow for cancer in her stomach. Her kidneys and her organs are all fairly clear. There's no cancer in the organs. There's just some cancer things floating around and feeding some lesions in her tummy. And those lesions are filling up with fluid. So tomorrow chemotherapy begins. She wants to thank you all for praying for her. Continue to pray for her. She said, I'm not frightened of dying. but, you know, I still want to live. So that's a good thing. Jean and John Inger, I visited John last Friday afternoon, and his daughter was there trying to make space in the unit because Jean has gone into respite at the Golden Age, just near where they live in the Golden Age community. John at that stage wasn't going anywhere, and his daughter left, and I put on a little bracelet on his arm and I practiced the machine and called the emergency people, and later that night John had to use the bracelet and was taken to hospital. So he's been in hospital for a week now with blood poisoning and kidney failure, and so he's recovering beautifully, and he hopes to be home this Saturday for his 11th wedding anniversary with Jean. So I ask for prayer for them, please. Sheila French, for those of you who remember Sheila, has moved into Hillview House at Merrimack. And so that's a big change for her to move away from her son and daughter-in-law into a facility where she's more limited in her movement and just her pleasant household things around her. So we ask for prayer for her. For Jean Heap, who's now in Woodlands, Uniting Church Care. She loves it there. She's having a ball. She wishes she had have come sooner. But nevertheless, that's great. So Jean used to sit here, and John and Jean used to sit there. And so, you know, the church changes and moves. So you've got your prayers on the back here. Cheryl was in touch with Angela Grubb last night in Canada. And so we've sent your regards to Angela over in Canada. So I'll just read the names. Ray, Molly, Samantha, Kelly, Ken, Dawn Collis. What's Dawn Collis's status? Okay. Dawn was a very significant active member of this church a number of years ago before I arrived, and she's maintained a good relationship with the originals, and so that's who Dawn is. Narelle Collis, who was our student minister here 18 months ago, is Dawn's daughter-in-law, and Dawn's son Craig Collis is also a Uniting Church minister and serving in Malaysia at the moment in the armed services. Yvonne and Bill, Lynn, Waldron, Lorraine, Des, Mark, and Alison, God's director. Anyway, let us share together in morning tea. I'll say the benediction at the end at midday when we finish our vision and values. God bless you as you communicate and connect with each other and share God's love and look a bit deeper into each other's lives. God bless you. We'll be back in here, I'd say, Jill, what, 20 minutes? I'll ring the bell in 20 minutes. Thank you. Carolyn, L-I-N-E. God bless you, darling. Thanks for coming today. Paul, good on you for bringing your little sis. Or big sis or little sis? Little. Good on you. Cup of tea out there. Hey, g'day, Janet. Hey, Paul. Hey, g'day, big fella. Welcome back. How was it? Yeah? No accidents? Everything went straightforward, eh? Beautiful. Yeah, all that stuff. Well, yes, the particular lady I visited this week, she's holed up till Christmas, basically, and I'm going to try and help her a bit each week if I can. Thanks. Until she's got her financial situation a bit better. She works 6 days a week, she's got two kids, but she got behind in her rent, and so the landlord's taking all of her wage now, and so she's just living from hand to mouth. Yeah. Yeah, okay. G'day, g'day, g'day. Bless you both. Morning. Yep. Hello, my dear. Don't go out the back door. Okay. Love it, love it, love it. Hey, you little precious girl.
Isn't she gorgeous?
Yeah, she's gorgeous. And so are you, hey? Oh,
thank you.
Good to see you. Good. Hello, I hope some people get these envelopes off you. I am flogging them for you, aren't I? G'day, hey, yeah, you going too, hey? Now, what grade are you this year? You're into grade 9 next year. You're welcome to join this little crowd here, you know. They're all that same age, yeah? When you're ready, they'll be... Jan Whittaker, great, thank you. Good to see your smiling face.